His hair had lightened since she'd seen it last, and grown longer. It was almost amber in the evening light. The scar on his cheek mimicked the edge of the sheep's hoof, and his eyes seemed smudged as if he'd rubbed at them while reading an evening paper. "He isn't sleeping," thought Cora, with dreadful tenderness. I still felt for my new children every ounce of the painful and ferocious love I'd had for Jimmy and Dolly, the sort of love that made me want to consume my babies. But that love was now undercut by a brand new sense of panic. It echoed far away, beyond me, but right inside me too, like a quiet, persistent noise in a distant room in my head. Daryl looked for her mother. Ah, there she was, talking to a keen-faced mistress. That must be Miss Potts. Daryl stared at her. Yes, she liked her. She liked the way her eyes twinkled. But there was something very determined about her mouth. It wouldn't do to get into her bad books. Miss Potts came over and smiled down at Daryl.
Well, new girl, she said. You'll be in my carriage going down.
When I was a young researcher, just starting out, something happened that changed my life. I was obsessed with understanding how people cope with failures, and I decided to study it by watching how students grapple with hard problems. So I brought children one at a time to a room in their school, made them comfortable, and then gave them a series of puzzles to solve.
Dear Duncan, you colour with me, but why? Most of the time I'm the same colour as the page you are using me on. White. If I didn't have a black outline, you wouldn't even know I was there. I'm not even in the rainbow. I'm only used to colour snow, or to fill in empty space between other things, and it leaves me feeling, well, empty.